Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 3rd, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, a skenos, is taken down, that physical death, we keep on having a building from God, a resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan, and keep on longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. Verse 3. Inasmuch as we, having put on the resurrection body at the rapture, our resurrection, we will not be found naked. Certainly indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we groan. That groaning is suffering, adversity, testing, being burdened, oppression, suffering, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, mortality, but to be clothed, immortality, with a resurrection body that lives forever, for the purpose that mortality may be swallowed up by life, immortality. Verse 5. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father, the one who gave to us for our interest and benefit the Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as a down payment, a guarantee. Therefore, verse 6, we always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the tent, the house of the human body, we are out of the house of the resurrection body, away from the Lord. Now in verse 6, we have that word confidence. And that word is the verb thareo. Looks like this in the Greek. T-H-A-R-R-E, long O, thareo. Thareo means to be confident. It also means to be courageous. Your confidence is in God as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. As you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as you advance to spiritual maturity, you will have confidence in God and confidence in the Word of God. This word also means to be courageous. And that is, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will have courage toward your circumstances and adversities and testings that you face in life. And it also means to be bold. So this verb, to be confident, to be courageous, to be bold, it means total assurance in your thinking as a result of knowing Bible doctrine, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, and as a result of growing up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you develop an unshakable confidence in your soul. Confidence is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advancing to spiritual maturity. Confidence is the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, Deuteronomy 6:4, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then developing the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, 1 John 4:20 and 21, John 15:12 and 17, and occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God is the other side of the coin, Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19, where the Lord Jesus Christ, as you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. And that is the great description of occupation with Jesus Christ. The spiritually mature believer has maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. With maximum confidence, you rely completely on the grace and power of God in your life. The verb thareo is modified by an adverb, and the adverb is pantote. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-A-N-T-O-T-E. Pantote. And this adverb means always, at all times. In other words, regardless of your situations, regardless of your circumstances, you have maximum confidence in God and His Word as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. In times of adversity and suffering, trials, testing, you have confidence in God and His Word. In times of prosperity, you have great confidence in God. In times of sickness or health, you have confidence in God. The present tense of thareo is linear action sart. The spiritually mature believer keeps on having confidence always, pantote, at all times. The active voice, the spiritually mature believer, performs the action of having this confidence. We have learned from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 that the believer in Jesus Christ has two houses. We have a human body that we live in during phase 2, a temporary house. It's called a skenos. It's called a tent. And a tent is very, very temporary. And then we have the resurrection body that we will live in phase 3, an eternal house. It's not called a tent or a skene. It's called a building, an oikodome. And then we have the verb endemeo, and endemeo means to be literally in the house. And endemeo is used figuratively for both houses. It's used for being in the house of the human body in time, phase two. It's also used for being in the house of the resurrection body, phase three, in eternity. And the way in the passage, the way you know which house is being referred to is to look at the prepositional phrase that follows the verb, endemeo. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, endemeo is followed by the prepositional phrase, en plus the dative of soma, in the human body. So to be in the house in the human body is the biblical definition of the believer in phase two, living in his tent, the temporary human body. Then when you look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, we haven't quite gotten there yet, but endemeo there is followed by a different prepositional phrase, pros plus the accusative of kurios. Pros plus the accusative means face to face with, kurios is the Lord. So to be in the house, endemeo, face to face with the Lord, is describing the believer in phase three, in an interim body initially, and then receiving our resurrection body at the rapture or resurrection. Face to face with the Lord. So verse six again says, therefore, we always have confidence. That we here is the winner believer. We is the believer who has advanced to spiritual maturity. Most believers do not have confidence. Most believers, unfortunately today, we're living in apostasy. We're living in degeneracy. Most believers are living their life in the cosmic system. They're living by the energy of their flesh, their sin nature, and they do not have confidence in God or in the Word of God. So this we, you know, we's we, ain't we? This we refers to winner believers. Therefore, we, spiritually mature believers, always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, we are out of the house of the resurrection body, away from the Lord. So here is the principle of the two houses, and that is you can't be inside of two houses at the same time. That's a deep point, but I want you to get that one. If you are in the first house of the human body, then you are out of the second house, the resurrection body, and therefore you are away from, separated from the Lord. This is what 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 is teaching. Now the other half of this principle is given in verse 8. We're not quite there yet, but we're homing in on it. The spiritually mature believer has this mental attitude. He would much rather be out of the first house, out of the human body, and in the second house, his resurrection body. This is the mental attitude of the winner believer who fulfills 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He is walking by faith and not by sight. Well, that brings us to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, which we always start with the King James. For we walk by faith, we again, the winner believer, the spiritually adult believer, we walk by faith, not by sight. This is the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the present active indicative of the verb peripateo, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the genitive singular of pistis, plus the objective negative ou, with dia plus the genitive singular of eidos. We start out with the post-positive conjunction gar. Looks like this in the Greek, that's G-A-R, gar. And the gar is an illative gar, and the illative introduces a reason. The reason why the spiritually mature believer would rather be in house two, his resurrection body, and out of house one, his human physical body, is because he is walking by faith and not by sight. This is the mental attitude of the believer who is living the spiritual life and has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. This is the believer who has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, motivating impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. This is the mental attitude of the believer who has a personal sense of destiny. This is the thinking of the believer who maintains the eternal perspective. He is living his life in the light of eternity. That's how the winner believer lives. He's living his life in the light of eternity. And as he lives the spiritual life and grows up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart while you are in house one, the human body of phase two. But he is looking forward. He is looking forward to being face to face with the Lord in house two, his resurrection body in heaven forever and ever. So, verse 7. For we walk. The verb here is peripateo. Looks like this in the Greek. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E long O. Peripateo. Couple of points. One, literally peripateo means to walk around. Physically walk around. To go about or to walk around. That's literally. Point two, figuratively, peripateo is used of the walk of life, the Christian walk. And it's often translated in your Bibles to live. So figuratively, peripateo refers to the walk of life or the Christian walk. Three, in our verse, peripateo describes the spiritual walk of the church age believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So in our verse, peripateo describes the spiritual walk of the church age believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. The present tense of peripateo has again linear action sart. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills keeps on walking by faith and not by sight. This is the winner believer. The active voice, the winner believer, performs the action of the verb of walking by faith and not by sight. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting the spiritual walk of the spiritually mature believer as reality, a fact. And then we have the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive. And you are such an enlightened congregation. 99% of congregations throughout this country, I could put dia plus the genitive and they go, duh. And I go, no, dia. Dia plus the genitive by means of. Dia plus the accusative on account of. But you all know that. You hear it again and again and again. Dia plus the genitive by means of. And then we have the noun pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. Pistis, that is the Greek word for faith. Now, pistis can be used a lot of different ways. It can mean faithful. It can mean the faith rest life, the act of faith. It can mean the body of faith, that which is believed, the word of God. Here, it means primarily the faith rest life. This is faith. The believer's faith in the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. This is the faith rest life as a great problem-solving device that the winner believer has out on the flat line of his soul. And that's how he walks by faith. No matter what's going on. No matter what's going on in the world. No matter what's going on in America. And what's going on in the world in America is horrible. I love my nation. I love America, but we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. We are currently the clan nation of God, but how much longer we're going to be, I don't know. We are destroying ourselves. We have turned away from the living and true God. And we have a lot of Christians in America, but as goes the believer, so goes the clan nation of God. And the believers are living their lives, for the most part, in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And that spells destruction for client nation USA. But we're still here, so there's hope. But it requires turning back to the living and true God. Turning back to God. Turning back to the Word of God. For believers, it starts with rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Has to start there. That gets you back in fellowship with God, back into the filling of the Spirit, back into your spiritual life. But that's the start. Now you need to change your thinking. From negative volition to positive volition. From arrogance to humility. You need to find a sound doctrinal teaching church and get your little patootie in there consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Advance to spiritual maturity and become a part of the pivot. The problem is the pivot's shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. If this nation is going to survive, the pivot has to enlarge. But it's got to start. We got lots of Christians, unfortunately, most of them are living in the cosmic system. Their lives are full of sin, human good, and evil. A lot of human good and evil. And human good and evil, well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ask Adam about that and Esau. The day they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died. That's Satan's policy, good and evil. We got a lot of that going on. So pistis here refers primarily to that great problem-solving device, the faith rest life. Faith in the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. The objective, then we have the objective negative, ooh, with the prepositional phrase. Ooh looks like that in the Greek and in the English. This is the objective negative. The objective negative, ooh, slams the door. And you could translate it, absolutely not. And then we have the prepositional phrase repeated again, dia plus the genitive, absolutely not by means of, and then the noun eidos. Looks like that in the Greek, E-I-D-O-S, eidos. Eidos is the word sight. So verse 7, corrected translation, for we walk by faith, absolutely not by sight. All right? 1. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 is picking up what the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. In 2 Corinthians 4, 18, the Apostle Paul writes, while we do not fix our eyes on, that is, we are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible, the material, but we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the spiritual, the invisible, the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven, a resurrection body. For the things which are seen, the visible and material, they are temporary. But the things which are not seen, the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven, resurrection body, they are eternal. So the Apostle Paul taught this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And now he picks that up again in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and absolutely not by sight. 2. Paul was walking by faith in the unseen, the invisible. And you see, none of us have seen God. Now, at the first advent, there was a group of people that saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the second person of the Trinity. But no one has ever seen God the Father. No one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. And we have never, none of you have seen Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is invisible to us. Where do we see him? We see him in the Word of God. And so as we learn and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we come to know Christ. And as we come to know him, we come to love him. We see him. We see him with the eyes of our soul. So we've never seen God. He's invisible to us. We've never seen Jesus Christ. He's invisible to us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We have never seen heaven. We've never seen the resurrection body. So when Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, Paul was walking by faith in the unseen, the invisible. 3, he was occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was occupied with all those greater grace blessings that God has for the winner believer that glorify God forever and ever in heaven. He's occupied with heaven. He's occupied with this fantastic resurrection body and occupied with the fact that following the resurrection, the rapture, will come the judgment seat of Christ, and the Apostle Paul knows he has waiting for him the most phenomenal greater grace blessings that will be awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's got his eyes on that. And when the winner believer receives those fantastic greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ, those blessings glorify God forever and ever and ever and ever. And the Apostle Paul knows that. And that's invisible. Where does that, how does he know about it? Through the Word of God. The Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, First comes the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. Every knee will bow before him. And then the judgment seat of Christ, the royal family of God, is evaluated. And all of us, every one of you, every church age believer will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be evaluated by him. Not whether we go to heaven or hell. That's already set. That's in. You believe in Christ, you're in heaven. You have eternal security. That's it. That's over and done with. What are you evaluated on? Whether you receive your greater grace blessings for eternity or you lose out on those greater grace blessings for eternity. And you will all be evaluated. And I hope and expect all of you. And when I say all of you, this church is way, way, way beyond this city. And the most of this church is getting the email classes right afterwards, getting the MP3 discs. We almost every day get a phone call from somebody that some other part of the country that wants to get on the email Bible class list or MP3 class list. Just again today, a gal called from New Mexico and wanted to get on the Bible, get the Bible classes, and this goes on. And my secretary, which is God the Mother, no, I'm just kidding. There is no God the Mother. My wife, she's here most of the time, and she answers the phone calls for the most part. She's not here, then I answer it. Ooh, watch out when I answer the phone call. And lady wanted a Bible class. She says, I'm having trouble with my emails. She said, well, we'll send you an MP3 disc. There are 50 lessons on a disc. We'll send that to you right away, and you can start listening to those. And then if you get your email straightened out, why, we'll send you the class by email. But most of my church is not in here. And they're for different reasons. We have a lot of old farts, and they would rather be at home. They can't walk. They can't. Well, some of them can talk. They're sick. We have people that are ill, and they get the email classes. So it's an older congregation that way. But most of the congregation is in the rest of the country. So Paul was walking by faith in the unseen, the invisible. Three, he was occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was occupied with heaven, his resurrection body, not the visible and not the material things on earth. Four, this is the basis of the winner believer's confidence. This is the basis of the winner believer's confidence. Five, the winner believer lives his life in the light of eternity. He walks by faith and absolutely not by sight. So the winner believer lives his life in the light of eternity. He knows he's going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ by Jesus Christ. He wants to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And those phenomenal greater grace blessings that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. Six, the winner believer is not preoccupied with the visible, the material, or what is seen. The winner believer is not preoccupied with the visible, the material, what is seen. 7. Rather, the winner believer walks by faith in the eternal, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven, the resurrection body. Rather, the winner believer walks by faith in the eternal, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection body. 8. The winner believer is living the faith rest life to the maximum. He's living the faith rest life to the maximum. Phenomenal problem solving device. He got it out on the flat line of his soul. Forward line of troops to meet any situation, no matter what's going on in the world or America or Las Vegas or your marriage or your family or your job or whatever's going on. The winner believer is living the faith rest life to the maximum. 9, he has absolute confidence in God and His Word. He has absolute confidence in God and His Word. So the corrected translation of verse 7, for we walk by faith and absolutely not by sight. Now that brings us to, what does the Word of God have to say about walking? One thing, as you noticed, everybody in here walks better than I do. I walk worst of anybody. I was in track and field at Washington State University, and was a hurdler, high hurdler, intermediate hurdler. And I guess in all of that that was going on and running, my knees are shot. And I've gone, we got Sammy, she works doctors all the time. She hears me say my knees are no good. And she came in and gave me the name of the doctor that performed miracles. We'll fix those knees like that. And they've checked them out, and they said, yeah, you need two new knees. I said, yeah, great. I said, when I get a resurrection body, I get the whole thing, not just the knees. And I just want to be here to feed you. This was my Christmas present from my lovely wife. And it's a cup that says, feed my sheep. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, sir, I love you. Then feed my sheep. And every day in my prayers, the Lord God the Father knows that I love Him. I love Jesus Christ. I love God the Holy Spirit. And there's only one reason why I am here. Only one. And that is to feed His sheep. And I don't want to cut back on that in any way. So I come up here, and my walking, you all walk better than I do. I get a little jealous, I rebound. This is the doctrine of walking. What does the Bible have to say about walking? 1, we are commanded to walk in the light. You got a choice where you walk. You can walk in the darkness or you can walk in the light. We are commanded to walk in the light. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were formerly darkness. That describes your life as an unbeliever from physical birth to the point of salvation. You were living in Satan's kingdom of darkness. You were formerly darkness. But now, after salvation, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works, now you are light in the Lord. That is as a result of the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. You're in union with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is light. You're in union with the light positionally. So positionally, you're in the light. You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and into union with Jesus Christ, who is light. Now, since you're positionally in the light, we're given a command, a mandate. Therefore, walk, and that's imperative mood. That's a command. That's a mandate. Walk as children of light. Since you're positionally in the light, then experientially we're commanded to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5, verse 8. So amplify that a little bit. One, this is a mandate to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This is a mandate to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Two, since we are positionally in the light, in union with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, we should walk experientially in the light as children of light. Since we are positionally in the light, we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness as an unbeliever into the kingdom of light and in union with Christ. Since we are positionally in the light in union with Christ, who is the light of the world, we should walk experientially in the light as children of light. Three, just as walking in darkness is incompatible with walking in light, so Christian degeneracy, walking in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, is incompatible with the spiritual life. Just as walking in darkness is incompatible with walking in light, so Christian degeneracy, walking in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, is incompatible with walking in the light of the spiritual life. Four, the command to walk in the light is a mandate to be filled with the Spirit. That's the power to live the spiritual life. And consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. That's the teaching ministry of the Spirit. So the command to walk in the light is a mandate to be filled with the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, and consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. So point one, we are commanded to walk in the light, Ephesians 5:8. Point two, the precedence for walking in the light is found in 1 John chapter 2. Well, 1 John is our Thursday night class, and most of you have been here, and we've studied 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, verse 6 says, the one who claims to abide in him, in Christ, and the word there, abide, this is John, the Apostle John, one of his favorite words in 1 John, meno. And meno is a special word used by the Apostle John to describe living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills in the church age. The one who claims to abide in him, in Christ, living the spiritual life, he is obligated also to keep on walking, and there is our word peripateo, he is obligated also to keep on walking just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was he received the very first spiritual life. He tried that system all out and then passed it on to the royal family of God of the church age. Jesus Christ in his humanity lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And now we have here the one who claims to abide in him, in Christ, living the spiritual life, is obligated also to keep on walking just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked. In other words, we are to keep on living the spiritual life just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. So that's the precedence. So again, point two, the precedence for walking in the light is found in 1 John 2:6. Our precedence begins with our Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. All precedence for the spiritual life is derived from our Lord's walk on this earth at the first advent. So the precedence for walking in the light is found in 1 John 2:6. Point three. The ultimate objective of walking as children of light is to attain spiritual maturity. The ultimate objective of walking as children of light is to attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. Four. The power to live the spiritual walk comes from God the Holy Spirit. Not from human energy of the flesh, not from the sin nature, not from your own power, human ability, human talents. The power to live the spiritual life comes from God the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So the power to live the spiritual walk comes from God the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I told you that this verb, peripateo, a lot of times you'll see in your translations, they will translate it to live. We have the verb peripateo in this passage. It's our verb, same verb that we have in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Galatians 5, verse 16, so I say peripateo by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So you might have live by the Spirit, but this is our verb, peripateo, same one we have in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So I say walk, peripateo, by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other. And the war is going on inside of your own body. They are at war with each other. So that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're living the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's emphasized. You have avoided the danger of legalism. So the power to live the spiritual life comes from God, the Holy Spirit. Point five. We are commanded to walk in a manner worthy of God. worthy of God. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are commanded to walk in a manner worthy of God. Let's start at verse 11. Just as you, believers in Thessalonica, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God. Peripateo. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God. So here is the Apostle Paul and all of his team, and in their teaching of the Word of God. He's exhorting, he's encouraging, he's imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So if we are going to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord after we believe in Jesus Christ, then that demands spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life, the filling of the Spirit. And spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. If we do this, then we fulfill the mandate of walking in the light. And therefore, we have fellowship with God. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. Turn over to 1 John 1. 1 John 1, verse 6, we'll start at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, fellowship with God, and yet we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now the key here, not fellowship with the person sitting next to you, we have fellowship, the believer, with God. One another is, the believer has fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another. The believer fellowships with God, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Point six. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is walking in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. We are studying that. We've studied that in our Sunday morning class. We have two classes on Sunday morning. We've studied Romans 6. We're in the middle of Romans 6 yet. We are in Romans 6, me teaching you. I'm in Romans 8. I may never get to teach Romans 8. The rapture probably take place tomorrow. Nobody knows when the rapture is going to take place, but boy, I'll tell you what. Satan's in overdrive. He is in overdrive, and the world is carrying out his policies. The world, America, you name it, carrying out his policies. So we might not, nobody knows when the rapture is going to occur, but it could occur here. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is walking in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, That's retroactive positional truth by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death. That's retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. For the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. And therefore, the church age believer is in union with Christ, who is the light, current positional truth. Therefore, experientially, we walk in newness of life. We walk in the light by the power of God the Holy Spirit. 7, the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills walks by faith and not by sight. And that's our passage, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills walks by faith and not by sight. This is living the faith rest life to the maximum. This is faith in the Word of God, Bible doctrine. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, which you apply to every situation, every circumstance of your life. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Salvation is by grace through faith. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, faith, so walk in him. We receive Christ by faith, so now we walk by faith. So again, point 7, the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills walks by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Point 8, we are commanded to be imitators of God and walk in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. We are commanded to be imitators of God and walk in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk, here's our verb, peripateo, and walk in virtue love, just as Christ also loved you with virtue love, and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So we are commanded to be imitators of God and to walk in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Well, that's not the whole everything the Bible has to say about walking, but we got out of the blocks. We're heading down the track. Come back next week and we'll see what else the Bible has to say about it. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.